All right, thank y'all for coming this morning to class. We'll see what we can learn today, right? Mm-hmm. Revelation flowing. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. And it's a precious time, and it's a time, I believe, where we meet you here and that you, by your Holy Spirit, talk to us. And we do ask for revelation this morning, Father, because it is revelation that changes our heart. And I believe you're going to reveal your word to us, and you'll do it individually, each one of us, because you know what we have need of, and you desire to meet those needs and minister to us. And we just receive that with thanksgiving in our heart, and thank you for the opportunity to grow in your word today as we receive it with thanksgiving. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, and then I was going to, pondering on this scripture this morning that comes from Jeremiah. Remember, we've talked about it in the class, that the word of God will act like a hammer that breaks into pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance. And so I believe if we've got a stubborn resistance in any place this morning, that the word of God, as it goes forth, will do that in our lives. We're doing chapter, nine. And it's from the scripture verse, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." And I have circled in red, "you shall." So we're learning how to be on the offensive end of praying the word, speaking the word, using the authority that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I was just reading, kind of looking back on what we've already covered, and one thing that stood out for me is he made a comment, "In Christ you are far stronger than you think you are." I thought I'd just remind you of that this morning. And we have to, you know, we find ourselves in situations at times, I'm sure, and sometimes it's interesting, you know, or it is with me. Sometimes I'll just feel real strong in the Lord in a situation, and then sometimes I think, where did my strength go? And so I have to remind myself that in Christ, I'm far stronger than I think. It's in Christ. And, of course, this book, you know, he really ministers a lot from that area that, you know, we need to know who we are in Christ. And that's part of the revelation prayer that we pray from Ephesians, right? That we'll know who we are in Christ. You know, we'll know the hope of our calling. We'll know our benefits as a believer, who we are in Christ, and, you know, the authority we have as a believer. And I know that, let's just go on. I'm not going to say that. We're going to be on page 147. Is there no suffering for the believer? I mean, you can get if you ask somebody that, you can get a lot of different answers. Can we not? Yeah. So let's see what revelation God's given him about this. He has quite a few scriptures that we're going to look at. He said, "Am I saying that there's no suffering in the body of Christ?" My dear reader, none of these protection truths shared from God's word negates the fact that we are called and given the privilege to suffer persecution for his name's sake. The Apostle Paul shares in the book of Philippians, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and you now hear is in me." And that's Philippians 1, 29 and 30. Furthermore, Paul tells his protege, Timothy, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." That's 2 Timothy 3:12. Jesus himself said that those who follow him will be persecuted for his name's sake, Matthew 10:22. This persecution involves other people who come against you when you live a godly life and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be clear that it doesn't involve terminal illnesses, tragic accidents, or premature death. Let's talk about that one for a minute. Y'all have some thoughts about it? Were you able to read this ahead of time, or is this the first time you've read it? Stirring up some thoughts on the inside of you. What do you think? Any comments? What do you think about persecution? How do you feel about persecution? Have you been persecuted for the word's sake? I mean, I think you have to be vocal about how you feel. If you're not vocal about what you believe, then more than likely you may not have been persecuted for the word's sake. Is that true? You know, Paul was very outspoken, had great revelation that God had given him. So he was very outspoken, and so therefore he was persecuted a lot. I mean, there is that aspect of it. If we go around and we're, you know, of course your lifestyle speaks a lot too. Does it not?
This one morning I was at work, and this guy comes off the elevator, and he's got his little red wagon, and he's pulling it, and his kid was in it, and then there was a couple people with him, college kids, and he said, I'm just passing out some biscuits this morning. Would y'all want one? And I said, I think we've all probably ate. And he said, well, we're from the Red Door Ministry. And I said, what's the Red Door Ministry? Because I guess he just thought, you know, well, it's food. People's going to take it, you know.
Yeah.
I said, what's the Red Door Ministry? And he said, oh, it's the LGBTQ Christian Church. And I went, what? And I wanted to say, how can you even say all that together? Because it doesn't, of course, fine. Anyway, I did ask him a few questions.
Okay.
And he said, I would love to sit down and talk to you, but I've got to get my daughter to school. You know, he said, well, do you have an email? I gave it to him. Of course, I haven't heard from him. But, you know, I thought, no.
mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think he expected anybody to put him on the spot and say, what is this you're representing?
Right. It's just like when the Jehovah's Witness come to your door and they're, you know, wanting to talk to you about the way and mm-hmm. all of this and that, and you know, and I mean, and most of the time I don't even go to the door, but then I thought maybe I should go to the door and say, you know, okay, let me tell you about the way that I know and see how long they stand there, you know, and that kind of thing. So
I hate to be mm-hmm. ignorant, but I don't know what that is.
What's that?
LGB Christian Church.
Oh,
gay, lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lesbian, gay, transgender,
right.
LGB,
okay, I'm sorry.
Bisexual.
I kind of wondered if that's what it was. But.
Yeah.
And they add a new
letter.
Seems like they make it
It gets a little bit long. No, that is a good question,
yeah,
Marilyn.
It
really is. Yeah.
I mean, the different things is Facebook. Recognize
it's hundreds
I can't remember.
Of different genders.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's,
how could you get 100 genders?
Out of two. I mean,
they come up with it, don't they?
They did. And
it's whatever
Forrest
you can think of.
Actually told us about that. And he said, when I heard that, he was like,
done.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
The double has an issue.
Excuse me?
The devil has many demons.
Oh, yeah. And just the thing of it is, you know, God loves them so much. There's such deception.
Right.
There's such deception in that, well, just deception in all areas of lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look forward to, if God returns in my lifetime, there's going to be a tremendous harvest that's going to come.
Right.
There's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God in that arena. And you know what? It's like we talked about last week. It's that mistaken identity. The thief is out to steal our identity. Who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, it's not whether you're white or you're black or you're gay or you're straight or whatever, but he's out to steal our identity. He doesn't want us to know who we are in Christ Jesus.
And all those people that are searching, because I mean, I see kids on the campus all the time.
Yeah.
And they're searching.
Uh-huh.
So we have the answer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we should be the ones leading it to right to the truth.
Right.
Instead of all these other little things popping up everywhere, oh, come here, we've got the answer. We've been, you know, it's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as a world, you know, we've searched for answers. Mm-hmm. And especially young people, there is so much. Well, anyway, yes. There's so much deception and so much out there and whatever. And I just think, you know, do we want to be persecuted for the word's sake? I mean.
Well, when you work around people and they see you and you know, I had one instance of a girl at work, and of course we do the same jobs, but she has a different team. But they had made a mistake, so they had to come over where I was at, and we were trying to fix the truck. Of course, I've worked around her before, mm-hmm. and so she comes over there, and it's a little hard to get into where we needed to go. She says, well, how am I going to get in? Well, you know, she's all wired up about having to come over there and having to help, mm-hmm. you know. And I said, well, I usually just take this wrench here and put it back in here. And she don't like it. She said, and you claim to be a Christian. And boy, she lit in on me and this and that. And right there in front of everybody. I mean, and she ain't very
quiet about it. Gosh.
And so, yeah.
Oh, but you see, telling her how to do it?
Yeah, but it was the way I said it.
Oh, my gosh. Bless your heart.
So people are watching.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just get quiet. And, you know, and I just go on, get the stuff and fix it myself, you know, because she's done throws her fit. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back over there and she starts on me again. She said, oh, so you've got nothing to say. Say, you claim to be a Christian and all this stuff, and this is the way you act? Oh, and I'm thinking, I'm just going about my business.
You know, I think a person like that, you know, I've never experienced that, Kelvin. I know Dusty has. Probably some of you in this room have, but I really think that person's crying out and saying, I really want what you got.
Yeah.
I really do. They really are crying out saying, I really want what you got. I just believe that. And
you should have just looked at her and said, I am and I'll be praying for you.
Let me read you the word persecute. We know, but to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatment. Especially because of religion, political beliefs, ethnic or racial origin, gender identity, or sexual orientation. To annoy or trouble persistently. But you know, we read here that for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict in which you saw in me and now here is in me. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, you know, we'll be persecuted for his name's sake. So, well, you know, wonder what purpose that's supposed to have in our lives. You ever thought about it? You know, we know it's not car wrecks, illness, right. Tragic accidents, premature death. We know. Thank God we don't have to really talk about that in this room, I believe. Right. We know God doesn't bring accidents, anyway. But, I mean, have you ever thought about what purpose does the persecution have?
Well, in his situation, I think in her coming over there, she done wrong. But she was trying to twist it around, put the blame on him because he wouldn't fix it. And she had to come over and do it.
Yeah, I know. You know.
Well, I think anytime we're confronted by people, it's the value we have on the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because
and our relationship.
That's who we identify with. Mm-hmm. So when they're putting the pressure on you, they're really putting the pressure on the word of God that's in you.
Yes.
And so you have to point it right back to the word. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if a situation is taking you somewhere where you know that the word of God says you're not supposed to do that, or your knowledge of the word of God.
Yeah, your knowledge of it. Just got to go with that, yeah.
Because, you know, we're all grown.
Yeah.
So we're learning. Sometimes we get in traps and then we realize, oh man, I really messed up. But anyway, But when they put the pressure, they put the pressure on the word that's in you. Mm-hmm. And so when you reach that point, that's where you got to say, yeah, but I'm not crossing that line. Mm-hmm. And you know, me knowing God and knowing what he says about that, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So that you're going to draw the persecution when you stop somebody and you say, no, what I believe won't take me no further than that.
Right.
And I'm not going.
Right. Well, and I think it causes the fruit of the Spirit to come out in our lives.
Yeah.
We get squeezed just a little bit and we find out what's, you know, fruit is functioning. But I believe it just speaks for, you know, like you said, it speaks for the word, but it speaks for relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, that God's a God you can have a relationship with and that you do have a relationship with. And I wanted to share a thought with you for, I guess the closest, the most, you know, sometimes families get persecuted and so on and so forth. And thank God we don't, well, anyway, I want to share this thought. Dusty, because I pondered on this as I've read this morning and earlier in the week. But, you know, Dusty, of course, worked at Volvo. And Dusty got persecuted pretty tremendously. In fact, I have to honestly say it's why Dusty left Volvo when he did. And it was persecution for the word's sake. And I've looked back on it and I've thought, you know, it should have never happened. He should have never had to leave. So I'm going to make a point this morning that I believe God showed me for us. And so, you know, and I believe it's worth sharing with you all when you look at persecution. You know, Dusty had a superintendent that just, I think he got up every morning thinking, how bad can I make Dusty's day today? Some days were worse than other days. And the one example I remember so much was that he called Dusty in the office one day and he was talking to him. He took a ruler and he slapped it across the desk and he said, if you think you need Jesus, you're really going to need him today. I mean, it was that kind of persecution. And, you know, we were... This is, what, 15 years ago. So we were younger in the things of the Lord. And the thing that came to me was, you know what? We didn't take charge over that situation. We didn't. Now, there's one thing to be persecuted for the word, and, you know, you deal with it. But when it moves you out of a place where you're... Mm-hmm. I mean, that was not God removing Dusty from Volvo. No. It'd be like saying a traffic accident taught Dusty a lesson. Mm-hmm. That was not to teach him a lesson.
Right.
God wasn't using that to perfect Dusty.
Right.
You know, and so I look at it and I think, you know, we didn't handle it right. And I don't receive any condemnation over it. I mean, God's been so good to us. But we were not ready financially for Dusty to leave Volvo. You know. It was a few years before retirement, or we wanted to be retirement. But you know what? At the very beginning, I have to tell you, at the very beginning, I mean, we went from having a really good income to that income wasn't there. And so, you know, we had to make some major adjustments financially and retirement-wise and so on and so forth. But, you know, God spoke to someone for the first 3 months. They gave us, what was it, $1,400 a month for 3 months to help carry us through a place to where we could straighten some things out. I mean, I'd like to tell you that we were just totally prepared and it didn't create any problems and, you know, whatever, whatever. But you know what? I can't say that to you. So even in the midst of us not taking charge in a situation where there's persecution, you know, when it says here that we will be persecuted for the word's sake, you know, there is a place of how are you going to handle that persecution? You know. So that's what I have gleaned from this. And I felt like the Lord said, you didn't take charge in that. You know, you get caught up with you can get caught up with who's persecuting you too. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There was a spirit behind that. And, it was to the degree that Dusty's people that were his supervisor, that were under him, they said, if you take him to court, we will go and testify for you. And one guy said to Dusty, you remember? Yeah. He said, I'll take care of him for you if you want me to. And he wasn't being gentle about how he would take care of him. Mm-hmm. He was serious. And part of Dusty's persecution was Dusty treated the people like he wanted to be treated. And there was a lot of people, you know, they couldn't understand that. And he was persecuted. He was really persecuted for the word's sake. And his people, Dusty's people, loved him because he treated them right. But anyway, but Dusty would say, no, I'm not going to allow him to pull me down to his level. That would be Dusty's response. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So long story short, then, you know, but I believe the Lord showed me this morning. He said, you didn't, in the spirit realm, you didn't take charge. It could have been a different story, a different ending. But God is a God of restoration. And you know what? I mean, we've done great. We've done great. I mean, God's taken care of us. Now, you can look back on it and say, oh, but if you'd stayed there, you'd have had this in your retirement. You'd have that and you'd have this. And then, you know, it's just like, but God. And then this is really neat. Dusty was working a few months later. And, a few years. And he was actually down Sheeler being a maintenance supervisor. And Dusty was cleaning windows in one of the buildings down there, and he walked. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the third place.
He walked in. He wouldn't even look Dusty in the face. And I don't know what he thought, but you know what? Dusty was happy what he was doing. He was happy what he was doing. And, you know, I felt like that was some restoration, too, in that situation. Because Dusty doesn't hold any ought against him. In fact, he lives not too far over from us, right? That one guy. You know, we came by his house the other day, and Dusty, you know, he said, that guy worked at Bobo. And I said, who is that? And he gave me his name, and I looked at Dusty, and I said, is he the one that did blah, 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 blah? Dusty said, yeah. I said, I don't remember what I said, but I had to take back what I said. For just a minute. My flesh reared up. But then, you know what? I've driven by that man's house since then. It's our back way that we go to Walmart. And, you know, I just say, Lord bless him. The word says to pray for those that persecute you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I share that with you. You know, if you're being persecuted in an area or arena of your life, and sometimes, you know, it can be family. It can be people real close to you. But, you know, you guard that. You stand up and you, well, no, take charge. That's not the word. You take charge. But we learned. You know, we learn from it. And, you know, we go on because you know what? You never fail with God. You never fail with Him. I don't care what you stand up for. What you stand up for and you speak out on, you know, God never, never, never forgets our kids, His kids. And He always takes good care of us. And we probably came out better. And it's not all about finances. There's a lot of other things. Dusty's health, you know. I have to say this. He came to me in May and he said, I really need to leave of that year. And I honestly didn't listen to him really good. Isn't that terrible as a wife? But all I could think of was, what will we do financially? I'm just being honest here. But, you know, persecution puts tremendous pressure on you. But this was, and we just did not take care of it spiritually. I look back on it and I say, why did we not? And I can't give you an answer for it, except we were just, it's just in a different spot then maybe than we are now.
But, you know, you look back and you think all that, even though it happened, but God did take care of it.
He did.
Amen. And we've seen that step by step, step by step. This job was better. This job was better. This job was better. Not as much. You know, money is wise, but it was better physically, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then
it was better for him personally, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was better for you personally.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, whether, however it may come, you know, this was... it was persecution for the word's sake, but it didn't come It didn't come from God's hand, that's for sure. It did not come from his hand. And, you know, then he finally comes to me in September and he said, I honestly, I've got to leave. I said, okay. I surrendered. I said, God will take care of us. And he certainly did. So I hope you don't mind me sharing that. But anyway, I think we see that, you know, the persecution comes. And let's go on and read about Job. I think this is interesting. He says, well, what about Job? Wasn't Job a righteous man who experienced terrible suffering? He said, I preached a full message on Job, and it's not the focus of the book, you know, to talk about the suffering totally. But he says, however, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he says there's a bonus thing where you can go to josephprince.com, what about Job, and get a free message. You know what? I went there. I didn't get a free message, but I got 28 minutes of it. And just listening to that little bit, wow, it's real interesting, the revelation that he has about Job. So if you want to hear more about it, I would encourage you to listen to it. He said, for now, I just want you to see what happened to Job is not something that will happen to you who are in Christ today. You see, one of Job's complaints was this: if only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. You know, I think about this, where Dusty's situation was, you know, his work people were wanting to be mediators for Dusty. That's a person that stands in the gap, okay? But, you know, that wasn't the mediator that Dusty needed. You know, he has a mediator. And, you know, Jesus was the one, stood in the gap and, you know, well, he stood in the gap for us when he went to the cross. He was our mediator. Took what we, you know, deserved. But then, you know, Jesus was standing in the gap. He stands in the gap for us every day. You know, he prays before the Father every day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, he talks to the Father on our behalf. Have you ever really thought about that? Jesus is praying for us every day.
Yep. I wondered about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything to provide.
But you know what? He's talking to the Father about what's been provided.
Okay.
That's what he's talking to him about. Just like the Holy Ghost, Carol, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, you know, the only reason the Holy Spirit can pray perfect prayers is because he's talking to the Father about what? The new covenant. You know, he's like the legal representation. He's standing before the Father and saying, now, you know, Father, Wanda needs blah, 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 and that's been provided. I don't know if he'd say exactly like that, but you know what? You know, thank you, Father, that healing is, you know, Wanda's already hurt. I mean, that's what I've heard of. And I believe that. I believe that. I'll find it. Maybe I can share it next Sunday, but there's a scripture verse that talks about this. And okay, I won't go there. But anyway, Carol, would you want to say anything else? I mean, I just made a comment about what you said.
I'd like to share something.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter called me. Her best friend's son was in a car accident. He lost control of his car, hit a tree, and the truck burst into a plane, and he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mom, she said, he wasn't a Christian. I said, Megan, you don't know at some... He's only 16. She said, I said, you don't know at some point, maybe. She said, Mom, he wasn't a Christian. And he said, she said, and his mom knows that he wasn't a Christian. And I know that Megan has prayed with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that that Megan is a Christian. And they've prayed together. Now, I don't know if his mom's a Christian. I pray she is. But the first thing that came out of her mouth is, why did God take my child? Now, Megan is best friends with her. She's spending time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the only comfort that Megan can give is her faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, especially because her ex-husband, Brooke's ex-husband, is just anti-Christ all the way, that the comfort that Megan has is in Christ Jesus to try to comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
I know that she's going to come under persecution for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask that you guys would pray for her,
mm-hmm.
and the family as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about persecution, how do you stand when you're the one who, the only one that's there that's saying, okay, you know.
That comes out of relationship, I believe. The way you stand is comes out of relationship with the Father.
I mean, to be the mom that says, I know that he wasn't a Christian, to know that there is no hope.
You know, but the thing is, you don't know at the last second that young boy didn't call out to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was instantaneous.
Well, you know what? I don't think that limits God.
That's what reports say.
Yeah.
Well, I pray.
You know what? All he had to do was say Jesus, I believe. All he had to do was say Jesus.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah. And another thing, Marilyn, that, you know, they are just so set that he was not a Christian. You know, he's 16 years old. He's probably acting like a 16-year-old, evidently. And, you know, we so many times judge it by outward expression, outward actions, you know. We don't know what took place in his life the night before he went out in the car. You know, we don't know, even though his actions spoke not Christian. We just, that's a heart thing. So I'm believing, you know what, I just pray that, you know, the parents can, well, that God will just work this in their life. And bring those who don't know. Well, here again, we're talking about, okay, you're asking God to use a car wreck, you know. But you know what? God's word does say he'll work all things together for our good. He didn't cause that. But you know what? God's stronger and greater than the enemy.
That's great.
You know? So he says, and he says in his word that he will do that. You know, this is a really broad and big subject. And it's one that people...
I think scripturally, to be able to show that mother that it wasn't God is more help than anything else. Because, I mean, it's so prevalent in the world and in a lot of churches that it is God taking people. Mm-hmm. But it's not scriptural, you know. So if Megan could share that revelation, it had nothing to do with God. It had the enemy in this world.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I told Megan. Megan said, Megan absolutely knows. Megan is a Christian. She's, you know, all the way. But, you know, Megan is devastated too, because this child is like one of her children. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's her best friend. It's her, you know. And Megan, she said, I know this child. I know what the life that he's leading. And so, but she said, I know personally that she has prayed with Brooke. I know that she has spent time with these kids. So I just pray.
Right.
I pray that she'll be able to confer to Brooke. I told her, Brooke, it was not God that made the car go off the road. It was not God that did those things.
Right, right.
So, but, you know, if it enters in your heart to pray.
Well, you know, we just ask God to use this. You know what this is? The best way to pray in this situation is you pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost can pray things that we wouldn't even know to pray, because he knows the thoughts and intents of a person's heart.
We need to pray for revelation for ministers, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I told this group about them going to the funeral and the man getting up, you know.
God needed another angel, or
I just about had a coronary.
Yeah.
I've never been so mad. I have never been so mad.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Sure, absolutely.
So we need to pray for ministers for revelation of truth.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, how damaging is that kind of another thing I thought about is in this lesson is praying for the president. We see a man under strong persecution like we've never seen before, you know, because he's doing what God told him to do.
Yeah, and we pray for the president, absolutely, you know, but I have to tell you that I listened to, y'all know who Kim Clement is? Do you know there's a prophecy about this impeachment?
Yes.
There was a prophecy.
I just listened to it yesterday.
And he will not be impeached. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pray.
Right.
Because it is a tremendous place of, you know, just like God prophesied that there would be a trumpet, you know, or trump.
That's the same
testimony. I mean, and, you know, so we have Trump in office.
So he prophesied about
it. Yes.
And then he died.
Yeah, I knew he.
What was it, 3 days after he was elected?
He said, I don't know why I'm giving this now, and I don't understand why I'm saying it. At this time, I thought you would wait till we got closer to the time to say it. But he died just a few days after he said it.
Well, didn't he prophesy?
Now, I thought he died just a few days after Trump went into office.
I think it was before.
I think it was. Was it 14?
Oh, okay.
That's in 2014. That prophecy.
I know that's when the prophecy came out. Well, anyway, he's died. He's died.
Yeah, I knew that. But didn't he prophesy that Trump would be in for a second term?
Yes.
And they would be hollering, impeach, impeach, impeach.
Okay.
But he will be in for a second term. But, you know, but that doesn't mean we don't pray.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Because there is an undergirding that is so important, you know, for him. And, you know, he also prophesied that things would be revealed.
Uh-huh.
And there would be exposure, and there would be basically a shaking. I'm not sure if that's the word he used, a shaking, and all of this stuff. And he also referred to the abortion thing too.
Mm-hmm. That's in there.
Yeah, I mean it's tremendous.
It's not but about 20 some minutes, but it's worth pulling up and listening to.
It's crazy. Kim Clement. It's KIMCLEMENTE, I believe. Or T ends with a T.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but it's pretty tremendous.
But the one I seen, it has it wrote out at the bottom because there's music being played when he's giving it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need one where you can read it as it goes too, because he says things pretty fast. It's hard to catch every word that he's saying.
And there's several of them. There's one, it'll say, it has impeachment, where he talks about the impeachment prophecy. But you know, it's just God's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so good to, you know, have him speak that out in 2014. And, well, anyway. Well, praise God. Here we are, Lord. Wow, I wanted to talk about the mediator, but we'll pick that up next week. Yeah, because we do have a mediator, Jesus Christ himself. And then we'll get on over into the authority over death. So if y'all want to read those last two pages there, and real excited about getting into the next one, protected by the Father's love. You know what? That'll stir up some things too. Because we've been taught over the years, you know, it's us loving God. The emphasis has been so much on us loving God, maybe more so, I was taught that. What was so important was that I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I felt like I failed at that quite a bit. But then I have learned that it's not so much how much I love God, but that He loves me. And how much he demonstrated that when he sent Jesus to the cross. So thank y'all so much.